Good afternoon, everybody. I know it's later in the afternoon, but I'm so glad you guys are here. So I want to build on what Kathy was talking about and focus on some of the messages that went just to international travelers that were coming in and out of the United States to the ports of entry. And what I think is especially great to be able to talk about is how during this event, we were able to incorporate lessons learned as we went. And you can see hopefully through the presentation, how our messages and our materials evolved from those lessons that we were learning. So I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. So let me start by giving a little background, a little bit more about what our division does. So we have responsibility to protect the people entering and exiting the United States from communicable diseases. And we do that through the ports of entry. And here you see the orange dots represent the 327 legal ways that you can enter and exit the United States. And we have jurisdiction over those. Furthermore, we do that through 20 quarantine stations, which are noted in the yellow dots. And these are located mostly at airports, but also at land borders, and you can see in the south. However, there's only about 150 of us, and there are millions of people entering and exiting the United States every day. So we have to work very closely with partners in order to be able to carry this out. Some of you might represent those organizations here today. So they range from state and local health departments, to, of course, federal agencies like the Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection, to travel groups and the travel industry. So I want to show you a little timeline to help give you a sense of how our messaging and materials progressed over the course of the outbreak. So first, the outbreak was identified in mid-April. Soon after, a travel warning was issued through our Travelers Health website. In early May, we put out the first document called a Travel Health Alert Notice, which Kathy alluded to, and we're going to see each of these in more detail. The travel warning by mid-May had been downgraded to a precaution. Soon after that, we put out another material that was an enhancement for different audiences that we're calling the Tihan Yellow, because it's yellow. Thank you. By mid-June, we had another material that was ready to go. It was a health alert poster. Throughout this entire time, though, we were also putting out website updates and lots of talking points for our spokespeople. And then by October, we had taken it to the next level, and Travelers Health had come up with new posters that hopefully you will recognize when you see today. So let me talk in a little bit more detail about each of these materials. So the first, the Tihan White. This is an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that was done very quickly in the first weeks of the pandemic. This was done in Spanish, and you know, you see a lot of text here. It was not done with regard to plain language, given the speed by which we had to get it out. And that's one of our major challenges. The messages on here, as you can see, will have evolved. So we say swine flu in this. We note that the symptoms are similar to seasonal flu, but others could be present. And then we tell international travelers to watch themselves for symptoms and to be ready to talk to their doctor. So this material went to all arriving international travelers. Here's an example of the poster, the Tihan White, blown up as a poster by one of our partners at the El Paso airport. And then not only was this posted on the website, but 10 million were printed to hand out at ports of entry. So our second material was an advancement on the first, where we had more time to hone the messages, and this was done with plain language in mind. However, as you can see, when you put it into six languages, it doesn't look plain language anymore. But between each of the panels, was perforated so that people could tear off just the languages they wanted. So it was in those six WHO languages. And the messages have evolved a little bit. We are now calling it novel H1N1. We tell people to stay home or in your hotel if they're sick, and to obviously the normal NPI take precautions to prevent spread. So this was posted on the website, and 27,000 of these were printed and sent to the ports of entry for distribution. So this one is unique because it only went to potentially exposed travelers as they were entering the United States. So this is the ubiquitous health alert poster. I'm curious, as you were flying into Denver to attend this conference or recently, did you see this poster? Can I show hands? Oh, okay. I'm surprised. This is still very, very present in some places, which is one of our challenges we'll talk about in a moment. So this poster was an attempt to recognize that not everyone was receiving the paper. We needed to have an additional method for getting them these messages. And these were posted throughout airports throughout the United States. And its messages, if you'll notice, also started to focus on our recommendations about staying home if you're sick and staying away from others for 7 days or 24 hours until you're symptom-free. This is also in Spanish. And here you see the posters at a check-in station in El Paso and also blown up the full-size poster that sometimes we're still seeing. So 10,000 of these were printed on foam core and put up throughout airports everywhere. And I think one of the challenges with getting these posters down, at least at the airport that I used to work at, who I shall not name, they put the posters up with carpet tape, and they're not going to come down anytime soon. So then we move to that next phase of really focusing on plain language and noting the key messages that were really, really critical. So these posters were created after the first wave of the pandemic with an eye toward the coming seasonal flu, the season. And as you can see, the messages are very brief and really focus on the key things that we need to talk to people about. Travel only when you feel well. Get your flu vaccine, wash your hands off, and cover coughs and sneezes. And these also came in Spanish. And here's a picture of one that was in a small stanchion, this one at the Atlanta airport. So let me ask again, how many of you have seen either of those posters? I see more hands. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. That's great. So there was a huge communications campaign that was in part kind of groundbreaking because it was done with a professional PR firm. And so it went to many media outlets and also was printed 16,000 and sent to partners for distribution at ports of entry everywhere. So in coming out with the four materials we focus on today, and really these are just the ones that our quarantine communications group did through our division as part of the larger overall CDC response, we encountered many challenges. First, we were first stumped by the fact that it was a new virus. There was evolving science and changing recommendations. There were also many competing messages that were also changing, and we needed to come in quickly and fill that void and make sure that misinformation and rumors weren't out there before we were. So our be first, be right, be credible. An additional challenge is that our typical clearance process within the CDC is not designed to be expeditious. So that was a hindrance to getting messages out quickly. In addition, we also knew that domestic travelers were seeing and in need of some of these messages as well. There were also many logistical hurdles, and those ranged from knowing the sizes, simple things like knowing the sizes of stanchions at airports, to whom to send them to who would pass them out, and the need for human resources for other distribution. So we took away many lessons learned from this event and were able to adapt them throughout the campaign and also thinking to the next event. Obviously, as communicators, we know how important it is to keep messages simple and focused. And we were able, I think, to spread that message to many others outside of communication throughout the agency and really be able to apply that lesson in the next round. Related to that is the need to print evergreen materials. We had multiple documents that were printed and handed out as the messages kept changing. And we need to find ways to use electronic communication channels so that we're not always printing materials that then become obsolete. We also noted that we need to work on streamlining the clearance process. And that's an internal issue that we will be able to do, is to manage that process a little bit better. In terms of identifying the logistical bottlenecks, we now have a great deal of information that we didn't have before about exactly where materials would need to go in a very large, wide-scale effort. We also have stronger partnerships than before about using those key partners throughout federal, state, local, travel industry to help us get the messages to their consumers and to travelers coming in and out. So when we take it to the next step and we're looking forward, we've got some actions that we're currently taking to be more ready for the next event. So the first is working on our own internal staffing. So we're using deepening and strengthening that bench of communicators that we already have, who have knowledge of what happened in H1N1 and are also able to think innovatively about how we can improve and use different messages, different ways in the future, different modalities. We're also working to evaluate the effectiveness of the TEHAN. This has been a big lingering question, and now we have some momentum to be able to determine if TEHANs are a really effective way to help travelers understand what they're supposed to do and to take those actions. We're also exploring new media channels, and that's a really exciting thing that's happening throughout the agency. Another activity is that what we're calling a logistics blueprint. So making sure that all of the knowledge that we gained during the event about all those logistical hurdles has been captured, and we're able to smooth the process in the future. And then I alluded to this earlier, but in terms of planning for the end of an event, I think, you know, in a lot of the command and control ICS, we learn you should think about demobilization as soon as you get started. And when I asked you if you had seen those posters, part of our concern is that those posters need to come down. And how do we make sure that that is incorporated in our planning, is how to end an event or ramp back down. And a big piece of that is maintaining those partner relationships for every step of the process. At the quarantine stations throughout the United States, we work with partners on a daily basis, and we need to continue to strengthen those relationships at every level. So as a closing, you know, the name of this presentation was getting the TIHAN, or international messages, into the hands of international travelers. So we tried to have a photo shoot and make this one the cover, but it looks like people are fighting over the TIHAN, which didn't happen. So I look forward to your questions. Thank you very much.